And we'll be reading from chapter 49 of his prophecies. And that can be found on page 520 of your pew Bibles. And we'll start at verse 13. Isaiah received his prophecies during the reigns towards the end of the southern kingdom, before they went into exile. But he was given kind of a daunting task when God commissioned him. He raised his hand and said, "Hey, I'll go for you." And then he got his commission. "All right, here's what I want you to tell them. Things are going to get bad. They're not going to listen, and things are going to get bad." And so he preached about the destruction of Jerusalem coming and the exile. But in the process, he also was given the message of hope that God would not abandon his people, that even though they were to go through a time of discipline, that he would redeem them. But it wasn't just Israel. We see in Isaiah a larger picture that even after the actual exile, that there was a spiritual exile that would we would be redeemed from. And so as we read that, keep that in mind. Verse 13 of chapter 49. "Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones." But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. Your sons hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your sons gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them all as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. Though you were ruined and made desolate, and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people, and those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, 'This place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in.' Then you will say in your heart, 'Who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone, but these, where have they come from?' This is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I will beckon to the Gentiles. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their shoulders. Kings will be your foster fathers, and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed." Amen.
Amen. All right, would you bow your heads with me? Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, today we do give you thanks and praise for the many, many blessings that have come to us through our mothers. And the way, Lord, that you teach us love and compassion by those who have raised us. And Lord, we do want to pray for mothers today at different stages of their mothering careers, and we pray for those. It's a hard job, and we pray that you would strengthen them and encourage them and give them guidance and wisdom, Lord, for a task that is difficult but important, and that doesn't come with an instruction booklet. So, Lord, just be the strength of mothers today and their encouragement. Lord, we want to thank you for your goodness to us that's been shown to us in so many ways. And we just want to thank you again for the Junietta students who have worshiped with us this year. And as they finish up a school year and travel back to different places that they have come from, just grant them safety and blessing. And Lord, for other students coming back from other schools and our local schools, high school and grade schools, wrapping up a school year, Lord, be with the students and the teachers and bless them and lead them. Lord, again, we thank you for Brian and Flo Corbin's new grandchild, and may your blessing be in that family and that life. Lord, for our congregational meeting and for staffing needs, we just seek your guidance and ask your blessing, and we trust you, Lord, to lead your church. Lord, we do think of the freedom in the balance and what is happening in many different fronts in our culture, in our world, regarding our Christian freedoms. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to know how to reflect the Spirit of Christ in the day in which we live. And Lord, just guide us in that way. And we ask your blessing on this seminar Tuesday night. Lord, we want to lift up our church and our denomination and the things that we know to be our core values. And two of them we want to pray about today, just being that we are stewards of what you've given us. Lord, we don't ultimately own anything. Everything that we have is just on loan to us from you. And so help us to remember that and to make the most for your kingdom's sake of what you've entrusted to us. And, Lord, the fact that knowing and obeying the Word of God really is central and critical to what you define as success. And so, Lord, that's why we want to stay so close to Scripture. And we need your Spirit to illumine our minds and hearts to receive the Word of God and what you intend to speak to us in it. And so, Lord, we just ask for your help in that regard. Lord, as we think of our world, we want to lift up the women who've been abducted from Nigeria, and we pray that they could be returned to their homes, and we just pray for their safety. Lord God, we thank you that in all things we can come to you and find you to be our help and our strength. Lord, for those that are in need of employment, those that are grieving, those that need you to be their healer, Lord, in everything, we commit these needs to you. And God, I just pray that we would find our strength and our hope in you, our great Heavenly Father. And we pray it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Would you stand with me and turn to hymn number 10. Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. O ye who hear, now to his temple draw near, join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters thee under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what he ordaineth? Praise to the Lord who with marvelous wisdom hath made thee, decked thee
loving hand guided and stayed thee. Oft in grief hast not he brought thee relief, spreading his wings for to shade thee. Praise to the Lord, oh, let all that is in thee adore him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly, for I we adore him.
You may be seated.
Amen. Today, there are some among us who know what it's like to be hunting for a job and hoping for an interview. And for you especially, but for all of us, I want you to imagine a job interview that that looks like this. Go ahead.
Just give me 1 second. Thank you. Sorry. Uh-huh.
2 minutes. Thank you. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about
that. Oi.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Have you ever done one of these interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. It's not just a job. It's sort of probably the most important job. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
No,
not possible.
That's crazy.
Now, this position requires excellent negotiation and interpersonal skill. We're really looking for someone that might have a degree in medicine, in finance, and the culinary arts. You must be able to wear several hats. Associate needs constant attention. Sometimes they have to stay up with an associate throughout the night. Being able to work in a chaotic environment, if you had a life, we'd ask you to sort of give that life up. No vacations. In fact, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and holidays, the workload is gonna go up, and we demand that. With a happy disposition.
That's almost cruel. That's almost a very, very sick, twisted joke.
Right, but when there's time to sleep, or...
Oh, no time to sleep.
Yeah, all encompassing almost.
That's exactly right.
365 days a year?
Yes.
No, that's inhumane.
That's very insane.
The meaningful connections that you make and the feeling that you get from really helping your associate are immeasurable. Also, let's cover the salary. The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
No. Nobody's doing it for free.
Yeah, pro bono. Completely for free.
No!
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
And they meet every requirement,
oh,
don't
wow.
they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best.
Yeah, there's no pay. They're 24 hours, they're always there.
Now I'm thinking about my mom.
Yeah, and what are you thinking about her?
I'm thinking about all those nights and everything.
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
Never heard it quit quite like that, huh? So, moms, that was just for you. Tough job. And to say thanks today is the least we can do, right? But you know, the thing that we can never forget is this, that all the good that comes to us and our world from our mothers, it actually, excuse me, it actually comes through our mothers from the heart of God, right? God is the source, ultimately, of all of that love and sacrifice and patience and grace. And God works 24/7, 365, and he doesn't get a salary either. And you know, we started a series through taking a look at the church, what it is and how God sees it. And with that, and today being Mother's Day, I thought it'd be good to take a look at some things that good moms say to their children and how God says those same basic things to his children, the church. Again, because God is the source of all that is good, and so we shouldn't be surprised, should we, that what we receive from our mothers is ultimately from the heart of God. So what kind of things am I talking about? What kind of things do good moms tell their kids? Well, point number one in your bulletin outline, something like this: you can be anything you want to be, right? You can be anything you want to be. Now, the guy in this picture, do you know who this is? His name is Ben Carson. Ben Carson was born in Detroit, raised by a single mom. He had a rough start. He had a tough time in school. He didn't do very well in grade school. Kids made fun of him. Racism was an issue. And with all of those things working against him, he began to believe that he couldn't amount to much in his life. But his mom, she had her own struggles. She struggled with mental illness and some other things, but she was a woman of character, and she told both her boys, Ben and his brother, what so many good moms tell their children. She said, "Ben, you can do anything you set your mind to. If you really want it and work for it and work hard and you trust the Lord, you can do anything." So she repeated that message to him over and over and over again, and it started to sink in. And Ben did work hard, and he did better in school. He even got into Yale, and then to medical school, and ultimately became the director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University, doing breakthrough work in separating conjoined twins. In fact, he was the first to successfully separate twins that were joined at the skull. And now, actually, there are a good number of people that are asking Ben Carson to run for president of the United States in 2016. So it's quite an amazing story. And in fact, there's a movie out, a film called Gifted Hands, and it's about his life. I recommend it. But a story with undoubtedly many factors at work. But one factor I believe is very critical. He had a mom who gave him vision for what could be. A mom who encouraged him in a way that lifted his sights from the assumption that his future was bleak and empty or ordinary at best. Lifted his eyes from that to believing in a future that was filled with hope and great things. You know, good moms do that because God does that. Look at some of the things that God says in Scripture that are along these same lines. Jeremiah 29:11 is a verse that many of you, I'm sure, have memorized by heart. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. All right, just like good moms, God gives vision for a hopeful future. He gives hope of changing not just circumstances, but we ourselves can be transformed. Romans 12:2, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, right? God can change not just our circumstances, but change us. And of course, in Romans 12 there, that next verse tells us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. So a word of balance there about not thinking too greatly about ourselves in a prideful way. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Such an important truth to realize. When we come to Christ, he does a new thing within us. Then, of course, the vision that God gives about our lives extends beyond just our earthly lives. Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. God tells his children, there is glory ahead for you. 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. All right? So again, just like good moms say to their kids, listen, you've got a bright future. There can be so much good for you, great things in your future. God says the same thing. And moms are able to lift the sights of their kids, not by pushing or nagging, but by inspiring them to believe in what God can do in them and in their lives. Just like God lifts our sights in his word to see what he has planned for us, good plans, plans that are even greater in eternity. So that's one thing that good moms say to their kids. Secondly, good moms communicate, you know, maybe in different words, but things like this to their kids. I know you by name. You are special. You are important. There's a lot of people that just blend into the crowd, might not be noticed or stand out to anyone, but if mom's there, well, that's a little different. Moms have a way of, in their completely unbiased opinion, knowing that their kid is the most awesome one out there, right? Moms are great at letting their kids know, hey, you are not just another face in the crowd. You are not just a number. I know you by name. You are special. You are important. That is so important for kids to have someone who thinks that way about them. Because our world has a way of giving the message that no one is of any real value, and we're all just a bunch of nobodies that mean nothing. Just like the wag that came up with this message that I keep seeing, around and about different places. You know, you are unique and special, just like everyone else. it's not just kids that need someone who thinks of them this way. We adults need that too. In a world that reduces us to nothing more than a number, it's just so awful good, good to know. The Almighty Creator of the universe knows us by name. He really does think that we're special. We're special to him. He lets us know that we're important to him. And that's what I love about today's text. The prophet Isaiah here that Pastor Steve read for us, to God's people who were suffering the bitter consequences of their own sin, their own spiritual failure, they were feeling pretty low. They were feeling pretty forgotten. And yet to them, God says in verse 15, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. Basically, hey, do moms forget their children? No, that just doesn't happen. But it's more likely for a mother to forget her child than it is, God says, for me to forget you, my people. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? I mean, you moms have more insight into the power of that verse than the rest of us, but I think we all get the idea. In the next verse, verse 16, God says, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. I admit sometimes when I really need to remember something and I'm afraid I'm going to forget it, I'll grab my pen and I'll write it on the palm of my hand. And that's very effective at making me feel even more embarrassed when I forget anyway, you know? But God here says, our names are engraved in the palm of his hand. It gives us that just a mental image, a word picture to know God will never, ever forget us. He knows us by name. We are special to him. We are important to the creator of the universe. And I know some of you may really, really struggle to believe that. Satan, the father of all lies, uses this lie very effectively for too many people. This lie that God's too busy to bother with you. You know, nobody really cares about you. You're not really worth that much. Folks, do not believe those lies. Embrace what God says to you here. He values you more than you know. So, another thing that God has in common with what good moms communicate to their kids. Third, I'll always be here for you. And you know, for each of these points, I know that not all moms communicate these things. Not all of you have been blessed with a mom who have said these kinds of things. But these are some of the best things that good moms communicate. And this point may be the most valuable. You know, when life gets difficult, when people reject you, when you feel like nobody wants you, and no one's in your corner, you feel alone, good moms communicate, hey, I will always be here for you. And what a beautiful and gracious thing it is to know that no matter what happens, you know, no matter how badly you've messed up, no matter who else might reject you and walk out of your life, to know that mom will never do that. She will always be there for you, arms open wide, to accept you and love you. I mean, there's nothing worth more than that. But you know what? That is the stance that God has toward us as well. Even when Jesus was leaving this earth after the resurrection, just before he ascended into heaven, he said to his followers these words, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And though he wouldn't be here physically, saying, "I am not leaving you, I'm with you." And the author of the book of Hebrews says this, quoting from at least three different places in the Old Testament where we find these similar words. God has said, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." Now, you might be tempted to think, well, sure, that's what he says to Christians who have their lives together, you know, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know what a mess I am. You don't know fill in the blank, right? Even when God's people, listen to this, even when God's people were at their very worst, when in the Old Testament they were worshiping idols and they made God so hurt and so angry that he had to send them into exile, you read, for example, from the prophet Jeremiah from that time, God sounding like a jilted lover, you know, who is bemoaning the betrayal. Even then, even at those times, God says, just one example of many I could choose from, but to prophet Jeremiah, God says this, "You'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart." In other words, God's saying, yeah, you keep pushing me away with your sin and your idolatry and all of these things. You keep pushing me further and further away. But even so, as soon as you stop pushing me away and turn back toward me, I'll be here. I'm here for you, no matter what. He is there waiting for all of us to stop being distracted by everything else and just seek him, and we'll find him. He promises he is always there for us. Well, a fourth thing the good moms communicate to their kids is this, please stay close to Jesus. Good moms say those encouraging things of the first three points, but also they nudge their kids to stay close to the Lord. And it's not something, of course, that they can make happen. And they often struggle to know how much to say. They don't want to nag. They don't want to push too hard. But they do long to see their children close to Jesus because those good moms know that what their children need more than anything else is simply to walk with God. In one of the extremely rare times that the audible voice of God boomed from heaven, one of those times was the Transfiguration, when not long before the cross, Jesus was transfigured. He shone like the sun before Peter, James, and John, and they saw him talking with Moses and Elijah. Imagine the scene. And this cloud comes and covers them all. And at that time, the voice of God himself says this: "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. It's just one of the many, many ways that God communicates to his children. Listen, I want you to be close to Jesus. He is the one to follow. He's the one to listen to. He's the one who knows how to make your life the good and hopeful thing that it can be. But you got to stay close to Jesus. And really, the scripture, God's word to humanity from beginning to end, points to that fact. It points to Jesus. And it all has one theme, saying, I love you. And because I love you, I want you to stay close to Jesus, because he is your hope. See, good moms and God often say the same things. And so today, I hope that if your mother is still among the living, that you let your mom know that she's loved today. And I hope that your mom said these things to you, and that has built in you good and strong things. But even if she didn't, you know, even if your mom wasn't what you might wish that she was and didn't say these kinds of encouraging things or didn't point you to the Lord, even if she didn't, well, we all do have to forgive our parents for a lot of things. But please know this: God says these things to you, okay? Even if your mom didn't, God says these things to you. And he says these things to us, not just as individuals, but together as his family, the church. He says to all of us, once again, just to go through them, he says, you can be anything you want to be. I have got such good plans for you. God says, I know you by name. You are special. You are important. Please believe that. God says, I will always be here for you. I will never forsake you. And he says, please stay close to Jesus, because he is your hope. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. God, again, we do thank you for moms and the way that you have spoken through them into our lives and the good things that have been worked into the lives of so many here through our moms. But God, I do pray for those who, when they think of their mothers, think of pain and disappointment and things that just weren't what they should have been. God, I pray your healing power, your power to restore. And God, I pray that all of those things that were missed from our mothers, Lord, you more than make up for them. Lord, I think of the psalm that says, even if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. And so you are able to fill in all the gaps. God, I pray for those still in the process of raising their children, that they would learn to communicate these things to their children and to give these encouraging and these words that point people to Jesus. Father, I thank you that all good things come from you. And help us, Lord, to hear your voice speaking these things to our hearts. And we just thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand with me and turn to hymn number 180?
Loved divine, all loves. love's excelling joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, O breath, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find the promised rest. Take away the love of sinning, Alpha and Omega be, end of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver, let us all thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy hosts above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory in thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
And now may you just be dismissed with a very real appreciation for the love that God has for you, and his glory may it be upon you this week as you go in his name. Amen.